Yes, thank you. Morning, everyone. Firstly, just to say it's great to be at this AGM. I've already benefited and learned a lot from all the previous panel discussions, the contributions from the floor and the side conversations. So yes, on state-state partnerships. No, we don't know a lot about many of these partnerships. Most of them come with pronouncements of a win-win for the mineral-rich country and the what we describe as sort of the buying partner. But despite contract disclosure being an established norm, public information on many of these partnerships is scarce. When we wrote the piece, and I'm glad you like the title, earlier this year, we out of the 35 partnerships that we were aware of, we couldn't find any useful public information about 22 of them. So for some of these partnerships, that's probably because they're at an early stage of development. There's still a lot to be discussed. For others, it's possible that they're just a political signaling tool, so there's no real intention to go much further than an announcement, a statement, a high-level MOU. But for other partnerships, it's likely to be lots of details that have actually been agreed that aren't being disclosed in the public domain. So for example, the partnerships between the EU and various low and middle-income mineral-rich countries. The MOU sets out an intention to develop a roadmap that sets out how the partnership will be implemented. And we know that some of these roadmaps are still being developed, are yet to be finalized. But there are others that have been finalized, yet what's in the public domain, for example, in the case of Namibia, is really just a very limited summary of the implementation plan. So there does need to be a lot more disclosure of these partnerships to inform public understanding, to ensure civil society in mineral-rich countries can provide effective oversight. And also, actually, there needs to be sort of more public information to understand whether these partnerships might help or hinder regional coordination. But based on kind of what's in the public domain at the moment, there are some partnerships that explicitly state support to regional coordination efforts. For example, I think as mentioned in an earlier panel discussion, there's a plan between the DRC and Zambia to start producing battery precursors. The DRC and Zambia have signed an MOU with the US that explicitly supports that goal. So if that MOU, that partnership is meaningfully pursued, then that could really shift the needle on that project. There's also the Lobito Railway Corridor project, so a plan to rehabilitate and extend a railway between DRC and Angola, possibly to Zambia and even Tanzania. Another sort of example of how these state-state partnerships can support regional collaboration. But it's possible also that some of these partnerships might perhaps unintentionally hinder regional coordination. So going back to the DRC Zambia project, that project is going to need to source nickel and manganese from other countries, and it'd be beneficial if they were sourced from nearby, so other parts of Southern Africa. And you've got Tanzania next door that should, in the next few years, start producing battery-grade nickel. But based on a US government statement, it seems that there's been an agreement signed between the US and Tanzania that means that a lot of that nickel will be exported to the US, which, just to be clear, is not a I'm not criticizing Tanzania for this. That agreement seems to make sense for Tanzania and for that project. One, it means that project is going to get mineral security partnership funding. And two, I guess going to that question around sort of whether the strongest buyers are always going to win out over nascent projects, the DRC Zambia project is not advanced enough to offer a sort of a credible offtake commitment right now. So makes sense for Tanzania, but it's a demonstration of how the race for minerals by buying partners could hinder regional collaboration. But I think in general, these state-state partnerships do have potential to support regional collaboration efforts. The likes of the US, the EU, Saudi Arabia, China, they can all bring a combination of financing, of technical support, the ability to align, bring together a range of private sector actors in a way that a single private investor can't do. And therefore, they have the potential to convert sort of regional collaboration visions into more tangible opportunities, both, I guess, by perhaps aligning, being able to align private sector interests across different countries, but also maybe sort of helping address one of the fundamental challenges with regional collaboration, which is how to share the benefits across the countries that are collaborating. And with that ability to bring more financing, to bring technical support, it's possible that, you know, that would open up more options for benefit sharing. So yeah, if one country hosted a shared smelter, then perhaps another country could get more support for infrastructure. So I think there is great potential. And just to say that, I mean, the onus is not just on the buying partners to be willing to provide this support, though they definitely should. But it also requires mineral-rich countries to be identifying the regional collaboration opportunities so they can come to the table with them when they start negotiating these state-state partnerships. And I'll stop there.